Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Divine appointments. We're going to start by looking at a story in the scriptures, but I want you to think about that statement for just a minute. It's not on your outline, but I'm going to give you a definition of what that is, a divine appointment. Here's what it is. Divine means proceeding from God. And then obviously appointment is a meeting set for a specific time or place. So when you combine the two and you have the word divine appointment, you have proceeding from God, a meeting set for a specific time or place. I promise you, if I look back on my life over the last 30 years, I can see very, very, very significant divine appointments. I can see them. I can envision what they were for and why God did them. But I also know I've probably missed a lot of them. And why would I miss a lot of them? I think there's many reasons why it would be possible that we could miss some of those divine appointments. This series that we're going to unpack over the next month is not one that you can compartmentalize to one portion of Scripture. You can't find it just in the Gospels. You can't find it in the prophetic literature. You can't just find it in the Old Testament. You scan through the totality of Scripture to find what God has to say about divine appointments. So we have to keep in mind that we can never put God in a box. Isn't that true? We can never put God in a box, but what we can do in our lives is we can connect the dots. We can connect the dots in such a way that we step back and we begin to look at our life and we begin to see what God's been doing in our life, and we can allow those dots as they're connected to begin to create a picture of the reality of the workings of God in our life from day one in our lives. And so that's what I'm going to ask us to do starting tonight. 110 times in the Bible, it says, in that day. 110 times. So 110 times you'll find scriptures that say, in that day. In other words, there was a day, and God says, in that day. So that meant something to God. That meant that he was doing something on that day. 78 times, the Bible says, at that time. At that time. At that time. What? At that time, God. At that time, God. At that time. At that time. 78 times. 18 times, the Bible uses the description of appointed times. Appointed times. So you've got these places in Scripture. Thank you. You've got these places in Scripture where God makes it clear that time, appointments, days, encounters, those things all matter to God. We're going to start tonight by looking at this story of Zacchaeus. Thank you. And it's on your outline, and I'd like to read it to you. It's in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is a divine appointment in the Scriptures. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. That's a big deal. That means he was getting kickbacks from all the other tax collectors. So he not only was a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. So he's number one on the hit list of regular folks because he's the guy that's getting all the money that he shouldn't be getting. So why would Jesus say he's a chief tax collector? Probably because he was. And he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and he could not see over the crowd, he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down." Now, this is not a popular man in any circles. He's not popular with the tax collectors because he takes a kickback from them. He's certainly not popular with the people because he's taking money from them. So this is a guy that if he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, he could have a blanket party. And he could have some problems. And so this guy, something inside of him is compelling him to see Jesus. So the Bible says he climbs this tree. When Jesus reaches the spot, he looks up and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up, and he said to the Lord, now I want you to imagine what has just happened to this guy. He's just had a divine appointment with Jesus, and he's a rascal. He's a guy that's stealing from people. He's not a nice guy. And here's what Zacchaeus says. Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus had an encounter proceeding from God, a meeting set for a specific time or place. Now, why would God carve out a place in the gospel to put a story about a tax collector that climbs up into a tree to see Jesus? Now, let me say this about divine appointments as we dive into this. We're not going to be able to put God in a box. In other words, if we had an experience with God and it was a divine appointment over here, we can't put God in a box and say, do it again, God, the same way you did before. God is not going to be limited to our finite thinking. So our trust and our obedience comes in walking by faith, does it not? Walking by faith and trusting what God says. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you some illustrations of what divine appointments may be, okay? Because you have had divine appointments whether you know it or not. You have had divine encounters, and you've had divine appointments whether you know it or not. So what would be the takeaway from a message like this? The takeaway would be, Lord, give me a sensitivity to see your activity in my life. Give me a sensitivity to see what it is that you're doing in my life, first of all, so I can give you the credit and the glory for it, and second of all, so I can be on the same page and I can partner with you. So divine appointments, and there's several of them, and you can just fill them in as we go. Divine appointments may be expected or unexpected. So you have a divine appointment. It may be expected or unexpected. In other words, there could be a prompting in your spirit, and you just know you're going to have an encounter with God. How many of you have had that happen before? You just know there's going to be some kind of an encounter with God. On the other hand, there are times when, maybe like Zacchaeus, he's climbing a tree because he wants to see Jesus. It doesn't say that he wants to talk to Jesus. It says he wants to see Jesus. Jesus walks under the tree and said, hey, Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree. I'm coming to your house for dinner. He had no idea that's what was going to happen. He, for whatever reason, wanted a glimpse of Jesus. I think we probably many, many times underestimate what God wants to do in our lives. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus wanted to have a meal with Zacchaeus. And I think there's times that we underestimate what God wants to do. So a divine appointment may be expected or may be unexpected. It is neither earned nor deserved. A divine appointment is not earned. You don't earn a divine appointment. We don't live and work hard enough. We're not good enough to earn it or deserve it. It's at the discretion of God, who, by the way, is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all the time. So if he wants me to have one, I can have one, and you can have one, and we can all have one, and we'll have a party. Right? That's the God that we serve. Divine appointments may be ordinary or extraordinary. They could be something like Jesus in the flesh saying to Zacchaeus, come out of the tree, let's go to your house and have dinner. It could be extraordinary. I can think of several extraordinary times in my life when I had divine appointments with God. Extraordinary times. I could spend all night telling you about divine appointments that I've had with God. Divine appointments may be understood or often unexplained. We may understand why we have them. We may have a divine appointment and we understand it. We get it. Maybe we've been praying and we've been crying out to God and we've been seeking God, and all of a sudden we have this divine appointment, and it's explained in our spirits. We for whatever reason, we understand it. But there also may be times that we have divine appointments that are unexplained. They're just unexplained things. It just happens, and we don't know why it happened. That's the exciting thing about walking with God. This journey of walking with God should be exciting. It should be exciting. If you're not excited about walking with God and doing life with God, spend some time asking God to excite you again. Ask God to excite you again about passionately walking with Him. There's going to come a day when we're in eternity and we don't have to worry about the pressures and the demands of life. But until that time, I don't want to limp to the finish line. I want to finish strong. I want to have a smile on my face, and I want others following me. Amen? And that's going to happen when I recognize that all the way through my life, strategically, God has set up these divine appointments because He's at work in the world today and He has a plan. They can, or they may, open or close doors. You may have a divine appointment that may open or close a door in your life. You may be seeking God for an answer, and you have a divine appointment, and it closes a door. Answers a question, closes a door. Answers a question, opens a door. This may seem vague, where we're going with this, but it's important to understand that we can't put God in a box. We can't put God in a box. We have to trust that this walk that we're on with God, He's in control, He knows what He's doing, and if I walk by faith and not by sight, if I have a divine appointment and I encounter that, I want to know that. I want to know that at the level God wants me to know it, and here's the reason why. Because He should get the credit for it. He should get the credit and He should get the glory for it. And so when I'm walking along and God brings somebody across my path and I get to bless them and I get to pray for them, or I get to do something in serving them, or they get to do something for me, I don't want to pat myself on the back and say, good job, Blake. I want to make sure that I know that God set that up and that He gets the credit for it. Are you with me on that? And that's the way that it should be. So why divine appointments? Is that a good question? Why divine appointments? Is that a good question? Work with me here. Is that a good question? Thank you. Okay, so divine appointments. Let me keep going here and unpack this a little bit more. Divine appointments may, this is number one, may position you, may guide you, may correct you, and lead you to Christ. That's a lot for one point, isn't it? Divine appointments may position you, may guide you, may correct you, and may lead you to Christ. Can I tell you a story that I've told very few people in my life? Very few people. In 1988, I was working in Arvada for one of the elders at this church as a bricklayer. And the work began to dry up here. And as the work began to dry up, we pursued work on the East Coast and went out there for what was supposed to be short term, ended up being out there for 3 years. But before we left to go to Virginia, where we were from 1988 until 1991, my wife, Melinda, went to her father, who was Pastor George, and said, Daddy. And when she says that, he melts like all dads do when you call him Daddy. Would you please give Blake a job? Please give him a job. I do not want to move to Virginia. There were job openings at the church then. There were job openings at the church, and she went to him and she said, will you please give Blake a job? And here's what he said. I'll pray about it. He's my hero. He's my hero when it comes to men of God. Jesus is my model for ministry. Pastor George is my hero. So he prayed about it and he came back with tears in his eyes, said, I can't do it. I can't do it. At the time, I have to tell you, it was hard to wrap my brain around that. It's hard to wrap my brain around why, if there's job openings in the, I'll sweep the floor, I don't care what I do, just give me a job so I can keep my roots here in the church that I love where my family is. Don't send me to Africa. Don't send me to Virginia. Please don't send me to Virginia. Little did I know at the time that God had divine appointments waiting for us 1,700 miles away. Now, had Pastor George said, you better believe I'll give you a job, we would have missed one of the greatest blessings in our life, because when we moved to Virginia, the only deal that I made with God was this deal. I said, God, I'm not moving to Virginia. I can be a little antagonistic. I can be a little bit Sometimes I'm just a pain in the neck. Let's just be honest. Ask my wife. We just had our 28th anniversary. I said to God, I said, I am not moving to Virginia unless you put me in a good church. I'm not doing it. So I'm out there. Melinda's still here. We're there in Virginia with some of the other bricklayers. I see a group of people come into the Golden Corral. I walk up to them. Back then, you wore ties to church. And I walked up to them, and I said, where's the pastor? He said, I'm the pastor. I said, where's your church? He said, it meets at this school. I said, what's the name of your church, People's Church? What time's your service? Told me. I said, I'll be there. I went in that church, and as I was standing in the church worshiping the Lord, God said, put your roots down here. God said, put your roots down here. I did not want to be in Virginia. I wanted a job at Faith Bible Chapel. And God said, put your roots down. We were in that church for 1 week, and a lady came up to us. We didn't know anybody in Virginia. We were in that church for 1 week, and a lady came up to us, and she said, this may sound crazy to you. I know you don't know us, but she said, I have a friend, and she's pregnant, and she doesn't know what to do with the baby. Will you pray for her? We're thinking, who is this lady? We don't know her. Sure, we'll pray. We'll pray. What's her name? Tell us the name. Sure, we'll pray. My wife, she's not going to be able to have babies. Doctors told her that. So my wife, as this lady's walking away, says, tell her if she needs a good home for the baby, we'll take a baby. So we pray for this lady for about 7 months, and Melinda and I are sitting in our apartment on a Friday night, and it's only us. We don't know anybody out there, and I get a phone call, and I pick up the phone, and there's a lady on the other end of the phone, and she said, hi, my name is, and she introduced herself, and she said, you don't know me, but she said, you have been praying for me, and she said, do you want a baby? She said, do you want a baby? And I covered the phone, and I said to Melinda, like I'm shopping online, like I'm shopping at Walmart, I said, do we want a baby? And Melinda said, yeah, tell her we'll take a baby, just like that. So I get back on the phone, and I said, yeah, we'll take a baby. And she said, I'll be at your house on Sunday afternoon. This is Friday night. She said, I'll be at your house on Sunday. I said, okay. Here's the apartment we live in, 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, knock on the door. I open the door. There's a lady standing there. I've never met her in my life. I talked to her 48 hours earlier. In one arm, she's holding this baby. In this hand, she's holding a bag of diapers, and right here on the floor is a bag of breast milk that she's pumped. And she reaches her hands out, and she does like this, and she said, here's your son. And I said, what is his name? And she said, his name is Joshua. And I said, well, shouldn't we sign a paper? Shouldn't we do something? I mean, this doesn't even seem, I'm telling you, this was so surreal to me. And to this day, our son Joshua lives in our home. He's 22 years old. He'll graduate from school next year as a mechanical engineer. We had a divine appointment that was set up for us by God in Virginia, and because of the obedience of a man of God who wouldn't step out in the flesh and do what he could have done in the natural, and nobody would have said word one to him, we followed the divine appointment of God, and God blessed us with one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to us. Yeah. Is he not a good God? We have an amazing pastor. That is the pastor that we sit under, and that is the pastor that we follow. He is a good man. He's a faithful man. We need to pray for him and hold him up because he has led us faithfully for decades. Has he not? So, divine appointments may position you, guide you, correct you, and lead you to Christ. Oh, by the way, 2 weeks later, Melinda got pregnant. So, we have two boys that are less than a year apart. So, number two, divine appointments may stop or change the course of your life. That divine appointment changed the course of our life. I did not want to go to Virginia, but I knew as I was driving out there, God told me it's bigger than bricklaying. I knew that in my spirit. When I called Melinda halfway through the 6 weeks, we went out there for 6 weeks. We were supposed to come back. When I got out there, God told me we were going to move there. And I called her and I told her, and she was not happy. But I knew that I knew that I knew. Divine appointments may stop or change the course of your life. Number three, divine appointments often require that we live by faith, not answers. Live by faith and not answers. If you're waiting for all of the answers, you're going to be waiting a long time. The promises of God belong to us, but the ways of God do not. Hello. The promises of God belong to us. We can stand on them. We can believe them. They're in the Word, and I can say they're mine, and I believe them. But Isaiah tells me that God's ways are higher than mine, and His thoughts are higher than mine, so I can't have the ways of God. I have to release the ways of God to God. And so I have to understand that I've got to live by faith and not the answers. I can't just expect that God's going to give me all the answers. He does not owe me the answers. Isn't that right? Are you living that way? Am I living that way? Listen, there are so many experiences that God wants us to have every single day. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we're laying brick. It doesn't matter if I'm teaching at YWAM. It doesn't matter if you're washing your car. It doesn't matter what we're doing. God wants to meet us there. We should be expectant. We should be excited about God meeting us there. Should we not? Yes. Number four. Divine appointments teach us to recognize the activity of God in our lives. So when we scan the horizon of life and what we're going through in life, it gives us the ability to recognize God's activity. God's at work. God's doing this. God's doing this. God's doing this. And we're able to recognize that activity. You know, you are not a supporting cast member in a feature film. You are not. You are a main character. You're not a supporting cast. You are a main character. God cares about your life. God cares about what you're going through. God cares about what's happening in your life. He cares more than you care. And He wants you to see that. And He wants me to see that. In just a minute, I'm going to share with you what I felt like God challenged me to share with you. But it's important that we understand that God's at work. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. How does that happen? God goes to work, and as I walk by faith and not by sight, not thinking that I have to have the answer to everything, I wanted so many dots connected when God told us to move to Virginia. In 2007, God said to me, Blake, shut your church down. I don't want to do that, God. I'm pastoring a church, and I love God, and I love people, and I'm enjoying this, and I know God told me to start the church, and God says, shut your church down, and I'm thinking, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to shut my church down. That doesn't make sense. In the natural, it doesn't make sense. Why would I do that? We need more churches, not less churches, and I'm rationalizing all of this in my mind. The bottom line was God was just very patiently waiting for me to do what He told me to do. It was non-optional. It wasn't that we could negotiate. It wasn't a Sodom and Gomorrah deal. He wasn't looking for a multitude of righteous or one or five or ten. It was just, this is what you need to do. And I did it, and I went 1 year without a job. And I thought, God, did I miss you? God, did I miss you? God, did I miss you? And then God opened up a door for me to come on staff here. It was the cry of my heart from the day I gave my heart to the Lord right here on this carpet, different carpet, same floor. I wanted to serve here. I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to serve people here. And in 2008, He gave me a chance to do it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. But I am not an extra in this movie of life. I'm a main character. You're a main character. And God cares about you, and He cares about what He has for you, and you need to embrace that, and you need to walk in God confidence, saying that you are not going to be deterred from what God has for you. And live like you believe it. And I need to live like listen, I'm preaching to myself. I've been preaching to myself all day. To the YWAMers, they're like human sponges. And I'm preaching to them, but I'm really preaching to me. Number five. Divine appointments may come as a choice we make. God may give you an opportunity for a divine appointment, and it's wrapped in a choice. And it's wrapped in a choice, and you have to be willing to unwrap the choice. Number six. Divine appointments may come as opportunities disguised as normal events. Wouldn't that be just like God? Opportunities disguised as normal events. Now, here's what this. I got home, went home after I got done teaching today for a few minutes, and I was just laying on the floor been having problems with my back, so I was laying on the floor and just saying, Lord, what do you want to do tonight? What do you want to do? How do you want to touch people? You've made a sacrifice of your time. You rushed through dinner, you came home, you forgot your favorite TV show, and you said, I'm going to go to church and worship the Lord. And so I said, God, what do you want to say to your people? And I felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to say. Because in the midst of the divine appointment, Zacchaeus had a divine appointment and he responded to it. In the midst of that, what do we have to battle with? In the midst of the reality of life that we're living and the challenges we face, what is it that we have to battle? Let me read this portion of scripture to you. Don't look for it. It's not on your outline. Let me read it to you and then let me comment on a couple things. Are you with me? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Encourage one another daily as it is called today. Who were those who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those who Moses led out of Egypt? Who did Moses lead out of Egypt? God's people. God's people. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they, now listen to this, very important. They were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. Are you walking in unbelief? Are you living in unbelief? Have you discounted the work of God's Spirit in your life because you become jaded by life and the circumstances of life and the pressures and the demands of life? And have they gotten you to the place where you're doing what God's people were doing thousands of years ago? They did not enter into a rest that God had for them because of their unbelief. And I want to submit to you today that it is possible to miss a divine appointment of God if you're walking in unbelief. If you're somehow have convinced yourself that God doesn't work that way, or that you're not important, or God doesn't care about what's going on in your life, that's garbage. That is not true. God cares about what's going on in your life. Listen to these words. Unbelief seems harmless enough to most Christians. It's just an innocent flaw, isn't it? We consider it more a matter of practicality, caution, or prudence. In fact, unbelief fearfully, stubbornly, or rebelliously doubts the word and the work and the character of God. Let me read that again. In fact, unbelief fearfully, stubbornly, or rebelliously doubts the word and the work and the character of God. It expresses these doubts in both word and action. It asserts that we have a better gauge on reality than he does. God says in his word in the book of Hebrews, the people of God did not enter into a rest because of unbelief. God has divine appointments set up that are strategically placed in your life to give you rest among many, many other things. But if you are walking in unbelief, it's okay to talk like this on Wednesday night because you're here because you're hungry and you want to be here, right? Are you all with me? So let's be honest with ourselves and let's get serious about God's word. I am not going to walk in unbelief. Now, I got to choose that every day. I am not going to walk in unbelief. I have seen God do too much in my life. God has been faithful all of my life, and I am not going to walk in unbelief. But I've got to choose that. Consider some of the characteristics of unbelief. Unbelief makes up its own mind about what God can and cannot do, what he will or he won't do, and how he does or he doesn't operate. Does unbelief not put God in a box? Listen to that one more time. Consider some of the characteristics of unbelief. Unbelief makes up its mind about what God can or can't do. It isn't you making it up. It's the unbelief. What he will or won't do, and how he does or doesn't operate. Why would I let that thing be alive in my life? Why would I let unbelief rob me from the blessings of walking with God? Fruit of unbelief. Here's a fruit of unbelief. It obstructs God's presence and power in our lives. If we're powerless, it's probably because we're walking in unbelief. Listen, we have to be honest with ourselves, and we can't afford to live unexamined lives as believers. We live in a world that is difficult to live in. My son started a new job, and he said, Dad, you were right about construction. Started a construction job today, and I did construction for a lot of years, and he said, Dad, those guys talk rough. I said, welcome to the real world, buddy. That's the world that we live in. That is the world that we live in. We live in that world, but God has called us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Do you know that when Jesus said that about the disciples, they weren't even walking in that yet? He said that in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. They didn't even know Jesus, and Jesus prophetically spoke, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are main characters in the cast of God's creation and life, and he has divine appointments set up for you because he strategically wants to take you where he wants you to go so you can be his ambassador, so the glory of Christ can shine through your life, so people can see Jesus in a broken world. Amen. Is that right? So I refuse to allow unbelief to cripple me. What about you? Unbelief is a thief. That's what unbelief is. It's a thief. It's like you going home and somebody breaking into your house and robbing you. You're going to be upset. You're going to say, what in the world happened? Who stole from me? Unbelief is trying to steal from you. God wants his church empowered. We need to be laying hands on sick people. We need to see them walking. We need to see them healed. We need to see them restored. We need to see the work of God's Spirit happening in the church today so we can take it out in the world today so that the world can see that we have something to give them. Is that right? So who's going to do it? We have to do it. I know I'm wound up today. I'm sorry. I'm wound up today because I've been at YWAM and I'm all excited today. But here's the reality of it. Here's the reality of it. We're either going to believe it and live it, or we're just going to play games with it. We're either going to live it and believe it. I said to the students today, I said to some of those students, some of you just need to stand on God's word. You just need to drop it on the floor, and you just need to stand on it, and you just need to say, God, I'm standing on your word. I don't care what happens. I don't care what's going on in the world around me. I'm standing on your word. Your word is an anchor. Your word is a foundation. Your word is a rock, and I will not be shaken. And that's what I'm going to do. And the footprint on my Bible just reminds me that I can stand on it. And we can stand on it. Please hear my heart here. I'm not trying to play games with God's word, and I'm not trying to take liberties that I shouldn't take. I'm not trying to play games. I'm not trying to talk or teach funny. I'm just passionate about us understanding that if we walk in unbelief, we're going to miss divine appointments. We're just going to flat miss them. And when I think about the ones that I've walked into, I'm saying, Jesus, give me more. I want more divine appointments. You orchestrate it. You plan it out. I'll just walk into them. And I'll let God be God, and I'll just be Blake, and I'll just enjoy walking with Jesus. Oh, let's just do that. How about if we do that? How about if we just get fired up and do that? The other people that we know get fired up and they start doing it. We have just a revival of the Spirit of God and the work of God's Spirit and his word. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher, so I'm moving on here. Number seven is this. Number seven, divine appointments often require action and obedience. What did Zacchaeus have to do? He had to climb down out of that tree, and he had to obey the words of Jesus. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to have dinner. So it required action and obedience. Are there areas in your life where God wants you to take action and obey him? That could be the thing that would break the power of unbelief. It could be that you're struggling with unbelief, and it's put a different mask on, so it's presenting something other than unbelief. Well, I'm just being very cautious. I'm just praying more. Listen, I'm all about praying, but there comes a time when you got to step out of the boat. If you're going to walk on the water, you got to step out of the boat. And so we got to get to the place in our lives where we take action, and sometimes that action lines up with being obedient to God's word. What has God put in your heart to do? Do it. He might put something in your heart to do that he's not putting in anybody else's heart. And as you obey and as you do it, there's a divine appointment set up right there for you. There's a divine appointment set up. You walk into it. Spirit of God shows up. People are healed. People are set free. And God gets the glory. Yes. And that's what we need to be walking in. We need to be empowered people of God and living like we're empowered. If it's true, this book that is, and if it's true that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of me and will quicken my mortal body, what can't I do? What can't I do? Jesus did everything. He said, you'll do greater things than I did. Now, I need to do it in humility. I need to do it in humility. I need to have people around my life that are speaking into my life so that if I get sideways, somebody can say, Blake, straighten up. Be careful. Listen, we need those kinds of people in our lives, but when you step out in action and you step out in obedience, God's going to show up, and God's going to show up in amazing ways. God wants us well. God wants us whole. He wants us confident. He wants us doing the work that he's called us to do. Where do you need to step out in obedience? To break the cycle of unbelief. If God shows it to you, will you do it? Say yes. Okay, thank you. Number 8, divine appointments often lead to changed behavior and changed lives. When we have a divine appointment with God and we're in the presence of a holy God, it is going to change us. It's going to change us. When we see the glory of God show up, God changes us when he shows up that way. So it's often going to lead to changed behavior. If I'm having divine appointments, maybe it's because some of my behavior has to change. And I need to walk in humility, and I need to walk as a servant, and those kinds of things. Listen, I want people speaking into my life telling me that. I really do. I want people speaking into my life. I want my life to produce fruit. I want it to be a fruitful life so that people can see Jesus, the real Jesus. Jesus so changed me 30 years ago, and he's still changing me. I want to just ask you to consider a couple questions as we close tonight. This is the introduction. I really felt this evening as I was getting ready to come over here that some of you are just bound up in unbelief. You just, for whatever reason, life has smacked you. You've been hurt. You've been wounded. You've been battling physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And unbelief has crept in. Oh, and it crept in so subtly. It seems harmless enough to most Christians. It's just an innocent flaw. We consider it more a matter of practicality, caution, or prudence. In fact, unbelief fearfully, stubbornly, and rebelliously doubts the word and the work and the character of God. It expresses those doubts in both word and action. It asserts that we have a better gauge on reality than God does. I don't want that in my life. That's poisonous. I do not want that in my life. And you need to identify, if unbelief has pulled a mask over your face and it's masquerading as something else, but the reality of it is it's unbelief. So in what areas are you trying to make things happen in your life? We don't have to make things happen. When God's on the throne, he leads his children. He guides his children. He led them so faithfully out of the wilderness. And historically, God has shown us in his word that he leads his children. He just requires that we follow in obedience. What can you see, and what should you take away from your divine appointments? What should you see? What should you be looking for in those divine appointments? Ask God. Ask God what it is that he's wanting to show you. What did I learn about that divine appointment in going to Virginia? I learned that God's ways are higher than mine. I thought the best thing for my life was not to rock my world. I thought the best thing for my life was, Lord, just let me stay here, just provide for a few weeks until the economy picks back up. I would have missed one of the greatest blessings of my life, who is going to marry a godly woman one day, and I hope is going to give me grandchildren and a granddaughter and a grandson, and I would have missed all that. And I got to see the integrity of my father-in-law. And I've watched that for 30 years. That's a takeaway from a divine appointment. I have to cooperate with those divine appointments.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.